produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Nehemiah chapter 1, beginning at verse number 1, Bible says, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hallelujah. And it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and I wept, I cried, I mourned certain days, and I fasted and prayed before the God of heaven and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. When we have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commanded thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, thou there were of you cast out unto the uttermost parts of the heaven, yet will I gather them from hence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by the great power and by thy great strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to thy prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and to prosper, I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. The word of the Lord for the people of God. Amen. I want to, in this series entitled Get in the Game, I want to talk about today pursuing the vision with determination. Pursuing the vision with determination. Say that with me. Pursuing the vision with determination. Come on, let's be together, y'all. Let's say it. Pursuing the vision with determination. Amen. I'm reading this book, and I've been reading it for the past couple of weeks now, entitled Vision with Power and Purpose by Dr. Miles Monroe. Dr. Miles Monroe was one of God's greatest theologians and writers. And he shares a little light on the fact that all of our lives should have purpose. And then he moves on to say that that purpose should be bagged by vision. Brothers and sisters, vision is necessary. Say that with me. Vision is necessary. Matter of fact, Proverbs 29 and 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. In other words, in the absence of vision, the people die. As a matter of fact, vision is essential to fulfill anything in life. Vision. What is vision, Pastor? Vision is the source and hope of everybody's life. The greatest gift ever given to mankind is not the vision of sight. That means seeing through natural eye gates. But it is the gift of vision. Sight is a function of the eye. But vision is a function of the heart. Nothing noble or noteworthy on earth was ever done without vision. To have a determined vision is to have the faith to believe that the passion in your heart can match the work of your hands that will make it become reality. Rome wasn't built in a day. However, it was built because they kept on working. A lot of people use that terminology or that phrase as a tool for their own comfort so that they can stay in the same place because of complacency. But I need to tell you that even though Rome was not built in a day, it was built because they kept working at it. Vision is the key to unlocking any door, any gate, anything that once was to propelling us into the land of what could be and perhaps what we have not seen yet. Vision sets us free from the limitations of what the eyes can see and allows us to enter into the liberty of what the heart can feel. It is vision that makes the unseen visible and the unseen possible. Three types of people, brothers and sisters, that walk around in this life, and I think we need to take note of it. The first type of person that walks around in life is the person with no vision and wonder how to obtain vision. Second person that walks around in life is the person or the people who have vision but are stuck in fear and are comfortable right where they are. You do know we can get comfortable, right? Because we can pay our bills. We comfortable. Because we can eat a sandwich or two every now and again. We get comfortable. Because we can put a little gas in our car. We get comfortable and complacent. And then thirdly, people who had vision but abandon that vision because of discouragement, disillusionment, or some measure of failure and frustration. Listen, brothers and sisters, I need to tell you that when you and I have vision, it does not suggest that we won't experience failure. Is my mic on? But let me tell you, failure is not always bad. Because failure, listen at me, church, puts us in a position to know that we cannot do it on our own. And failure helps us to rely on a higher power that can get it done, watch this, the right way. That's why I tell us all the time, you don't need to do anything without consulting the Lord first. Because if you got God on your side, he'll bless your journey. Do I have a witness here? And so many times we have allowed people, places, and things to push us back from really doing what we have been called to do. So many times we allow people to speak negativity into our ear gates that will set us back from fulfilling the dream, watch this, that God gave us in the first place. Don't you know that the devil's job is to steal, kill, and destroy? That's why when God gives us a dream or a vision or something that he is trying to accomplish for us to do, talking is not the first thing we should do. Praying is the first thing we should do. Why, Pastor? Because when you talk and you run your mouth and you tell folks, well, I think I'm finna do this, I think I'm finna do that, I think I'm finna open up a new this, that, or the other, they'll start praying against you. As I told you once before, and I'm gonna tell you again today, that the devil will use anybody or anything that will allow him to take up residency in their lives. That's why you got to be careful who you tell what to. Boy, y'all ain't saying nothing in here. And I know we get excited. We want everybody to be happy for us. But can I bust your bubble this morning? Everybody ain't gonna be happy because you happy. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Matter of fact, there are some folks that wish you'll fail in the first place. Boy. There's some folks sitting back right now. They're on the sidelines, just watching. He gonna fail after a while, I promise you. And they're betting on it, because anytime a person is not happy with themselves and or don't have their own vision, they don't want nobody else to be happy around them. That's why I tell people all the time, you don't wait on nobody else to love you, baby. You fall in love with yourself. You don't need nobody. Oh, baby, I love you, child. Lord, I just love me some you. You're lying. Because love is not based on a feeling. Y'all ain't praying with me here. It's action. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? That's why you got people that say they love you one day and they hate you the next. Because they think that love is a feeling. And as long as you're doing what I want you to do, I love you. But as soon as you do something that I think that you should not do, I don't love you no more. That's not love. Love is, y'all ain't praying with me, walking together. Y'all ain't praying with me here. You gotta learn how to walk with folk through the sunshine and the rain. And that's all a part of having a vision and pursuing vision with determination. That's why we cannot get bent out of shape when people don't really see what we see. Because God gives it to you, not to everybody else. Teach, Pastor. He gives it to you. And when it comes to the church, I didn't forget about the church. Because not only must we have vision in our personal lives, but we got to have vision in the church. And we have to have, watch this, some vision carriers in the church. Now, there's one visionary in the church. One visionary. Everybody shout, one visionary in the Lord's church. And that's the pastor. Come on, can I help? Can I help us? I'm just trying to help us. I said there's one visionary in the Lord's church, and that is the pastor. Anything with two heads is a monster. Y'all ain't praying with me here. If any of y'all walked in here with two heads, we'd all be out of here. Because that's a monster. That's not normal. And God set it up. Listen here. God set it up. He put everything in divine order. He put everything in divine order. And the reason why our churches are suffering and not meeting the needs that the Lord has called for us to meet is because we don't have vision, but we got division. Everybody trying to outdo the other one. Everybody trying to step on the other one. Everybody backbiting because they don't like what somebody else said about you, and so they feel the same way because they are part of the crew. No, that's not of God. We got to get this thing right, church. He gave one visionary. If God wanted to have everybody in his house to have that vision, he'd have gave it to you. But God is strategic and God is orderly. He's an orderly God. Matter of fact, the Bible says we must do things decently and in order. Decently and in order. That's Bible. Pastor didn't make that up. And God set it in order for us to follow the order. But we are out of order because we want to do our own thing. We have put ourselves out there because somebody sent us out and we don't have sense enough to continue to follow the Bible. Do you hear what I'm saying? So much division in our churches, and it's making me sick. Churches are closing because there's so much division. And then we got church splits because people don't know how to follow God's order. Tooth and tongue fall out with one another, and then they go start a greater tooth and tongue ministries. And that's why we got so many churches around here ain't doing a thing. Just coming in, they comfortable with five members. All because there's no vision. No vision. Pastor can't tell me nothing. If the pastor say something I don't like, I'm leaving the church. Don't get quiet on me now. I'm leaving. I'm leaving. Well, if you're leaving because of something that God told the pastor to say, you weren't never meant to be there in the first place. Because let me tell you, my job as the pastor is to feed and lead. That's vision. That's God's vision. And anytime the pastor is not allowed to do what God has called him to do, guess what will happen? God will move that pastor to a place where it can work. Do you hear what I'm saying? And so we need to pursue vision with determination. Say that with me. Pursue vision with determination. Now, our vision here, one of the main visions that we have here, and I want us to write this down and remember this. It's simple. Grow disciples through the love of Christ. That's our vision. To grow disciples through the love of Christ. What is a disciple? A disciple is simply a follower of Jesus Christ. That's it. It's nothing complex. You don't have to have a degree to understand that. But it's growing people through the love of Christ. How do I grow people? I first must get out of my own self to understand that everybody is not going to have the same opinion as me. Matter of fact, it's not about an opinion anyway. It's about kingdom building. That means each and every one of us working together for the common cause of the same goal. All of us are on the same team. Did y'all hear what I said? All of us are on the same team. And there is no I in team. It's not about one single person. Amen. It's about all of us coming together as vision carriers doing the work of ministry. Check it out. Somebody, there ought to be some people in God's church that are saying, listen, I know that things are not like they should be. But we got to do something about this. We got to take some, watch this word, y'all, some initiative. Because I don't treat God's house like it's a country club. where I come, sit, pay my money, look pretty, and then go home. But I have to come in and know that the church is not an organization, but it's a living organism. Teach, Pastor. In other words, we are many members, but one body. Just think about this. Think about this. Think about your body right now. You know, your body. Your body, right? You got some fingers, right? Got some hands. Got some arms, torso, you got some legs, foot, toes, right? Those are called limbs or members, okay? If you were to cut your hand off, how hard would it be for you to accomplish doing work around the house? You can probably get yourself dressed because you'd be trying to do everything with one hand. That's why we cannot say that, listen, my hands are not important, because they are. Matter of fact, every part of the body is important. And so it is in the church. We are all a part of one body, and that is the body of Christ. Though we be many members, we're all a part of one body. So if we're all a part of one body, I can't say that I don't need Willie Jean around. Because she's an important part of the body. If both of us are working and we're doing kingdom building and we're working and then something happens, that means I gotta strain and carry the load all by myself. And guess what? That's what's happening in our churches. You have a remnant of people that are working to do what all of us should be doing. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Everybody in here is important. Everybody. There are no persons a part of the body of Christ that is not important to me, and certainly not to God. All y'all my favorite members. Will y'all hear what I'm saying? All y'all my favorite members. You may not call pastor like other folk call pastor, but listen, you still my favorite. Amen. Because why? You're important. And when we look at the importance of ministry, it takes everybody to do the work of ministry. I'm in a text. The people of Judah and the city of Jerusalem were in a terrible condition. Over 150 years earlier, King Nebuchadnezzar and the armies of Babylon had invaded Israel and had carried many of the people away as slaves. The Jews desperately needed someone who had the vision needed to restore Jerusalem and Israel to her former glory. They needed someone who was different than what they had seen in the past. They needed someone who had been captured by God and had a heart to do ministry and determined to lead the vision with both power and conviction. They needed a person of vision if they were going to see their current situation change. God had a certain person by the name of Nehemiah who was not a theologian, who was not someone who had a extensive pedigree, who was not a part of the higher epsilon of society. He was just a regular old cupbearer, just a simple guy. And all he did was tasted the king's food to make sure that it wasn't poison. But God took the simple guy. I'm trying to tell y'all something. The little guy that didn't nobody pay attention to, God put a vision in his heart, and when they got to him, God's word lined up with him, and he had a burden to see change take place. Nehemiah was a man that God used as a vessel in a great way to rebuild the city of Jerusalem and to bring about restoration of the nation of Israel. You and I may have read this story many times, and even though we're a thousand of years removed from the time of Nehemiah, brothers and sisters, we also live in a nation that desperately needs persons that will pursue vision with determination. Our church need members that will pursue vision with determination. We need people who are willing workers, not just busy bees or busy bodies. We need people who are focused on kingdom building, who won't get an attitude when things don't go their way. Folks get attitudes in church because stuff don't go our way. We get our attitudes and... I know, I'm telling the truth. I was once that person. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Amen. Just mumbling over in your own little corner. I just don't know why he's doing that. We can't do this and we can't afford that. And blah, 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 blah. Well, if God gives you vision, catch this, he'll give you provision. Because there is nothing that God has ever called anybody to do that he didn't bag up and supply their needs. We have to pursue vision with determination. We have to be determined, watch this, to make the vision come to pass. The Bible says, write the vision. Make it plain so that he that sees it or read it can run it. In other words, when you make it plain so that somebody can read it and follow verbatim what's going on, it's easy for them to work it out. How do we grow disciples through the love of Christ? That's our vision, church. How do we do that? We get outside of ourselves and we make sure that we spread the gospel of Jesus Christ everywhere we go. In the grocery store, at work, in the shopping mall, at the eating places, even at the casino, y'all ain't praying. Amen. Even in recreation, we share, because everybody needs Jesus. Boy, yeah. Woo. Everybody, wherever they are, they need Jesus. And we cannot be scared to share Jesus. And catch this, let me ease your burdens today and help you to share Jesus next week. You don't have to have a degree in evangelism to tell somebody that Jesus loves them. Amen. And I think that word evangelism sometimes scares us. Because we be thinking, well, how am I going to talk to somebody? You talk to somebody every day. Just put a little Jesus, sprinkle a little Jesus in the conversation. Because guess what? Even though somebody is smiling on the outside, we don't know what they're going through on the inside. Smiling faces tell lies. They don't tell the truth. Amen. You don't never know what somebody is dealing with internally. So we got to remember that a part of having vision is, first of all, to make sure that we have compassion. If we're going to pursue vision with determination, first thing we must have is compassion. The second thing that vision or determined vision involves is consecration. Third thing that it involves is community. I'm giving you my 3 points early because I'm finna go through them. Say that with me. It involves compassion, consecration, and community. Come on, let's say it again. It involves compassion, consecration, and community. What do you mean, Pastor? It involves compassion. I'm glad you asked. Listen, it involves us following the Lord with our whole heart. God does not like part-time Christians. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? And a lot of people who fill church pews are part-time believers. They believe on Sunday, and all during the week they do whatever they want to do, and then they pick their Bible up again when it's time to come back to service if they feel like coming. Boy, I've been around church all my life. If I feel like coming today, I'm going to come. But if I don't, I'm going to stay in the bed and I'll watch online. And that's the thing that has crippled us. All this technology. Oh, we get to watch church in our pajamas, sipping our coffee. But you can't get at your house what you can get at God's house. That's why the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as some do. And then you have distractions while you're at your house. The phone ringing. You're not focused. You take your eyes off the service. The baby crying. The dog barking. The cat meowing. DoorDash is ringing your doorbell. Your neighbor is knocking on your door, asking, can he use your leaf blower? Oh, no, I'm not making this up. All of these are true scenarios. But when you're inside of God's house, ain't nobody got no leaf blower up in here. We're in tune for the most part, and we're together. And God wants us to be together. Let me say that again. God wants us to be together. Church, we have let things that are not significant slip in among us and separate us. We've let other people's business and problems make us think and or feel a certain type of way, and they ain't got nothing to do with us. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Listen, I got enough business of my own to be snooping around in Reverend Fields' business. got enough leaves around my own front door to last me a year that I can sweep instead of trying to go around his door, sweeping around his door, trying to find dirt. Oh, there's some dirt in his life. Ooh, with my white glove, my spiritual white glove. Ooh, he got some dirt. He called himself a preacher. You know how we do. God didn't ask us to be concerned with other people's business. He called us to be concerned with ministry and how we can help somebody along the way. I'm just trying to help somebody get to heaven. I'm not concerned about nobody's business. Listen, that's between you and God. Come on. Amen. I don't care about it. But what I do care about is, what are you doing to build the kingdom of God? That's my business. So we got to make sure we have compassion, and make sure we have compassion with not just people we want to have compassion with. Because you do know we act funny, don't you? Ooh, yes, we do. Church folks are some of the most funny acting people you'll ever run across. And that's why folk don't want to come to church, because church have become a funny acting circus. Everybody turning their nose up at everybody. Ain't nobody smiling. Come on. When I walk through these doors, I ought to see some happy people. Come on, Jesus. If you got Jesus, you ought to have some ounce of joy. Y'all know what I like to say. You shouldn't be just sitting looking like you've been baptized in lemon sauce. Just looking all bitter. Come on now. If you ain't got nothing else to be happy about, you ought to be happy that you're able to see another day. Somebody didn't make it. And especially with all that's going on. Come on. Ain't none of us in here exempt from tragedy. And what we should do every day is to make sure we're living the best life we can so we don't die and go to hell. See, many preachers are not preaching like that. And that's why their churches are full. Because people gravitate to the snatch it and grab it. Oh, you're going to get a blessing in 2 days. Come on, jump up and shout. Churches are building dance floors instead of letting the altar stay where it is, because we want to shout people but don't want to help people live a better life. After you get through shouting, you're going home back the same way you came, because ain't nobody teaching about how I can live better. We got to understand, we got to have compassion. We got to have compassion for ourselves. And having compassion for ourselves suggests that we have compassion for our fellow man. Because the true test of love is how you treat your brother in and out of their presence. It's not just how you treat people in their face, but what do you say about them when you go to the house? What type of conversations are you having on your phone about your brother who you may need one day? You know, God got a funny sense of humor. He'll put something on you where you can't call nobody else but that person you've been talking down about. You don't believe me, do you? Let me show it to you in the Bible. Genesis. The Bible says that Joseph, brothers, they did him wrong. They put him in the pit, lied on him, went back and told the daddy that he died, sold him into slavery. But guess what happened? Joseph never did try to retaliate. He stood still and he continued to do what he was supposed to do. And later on in Genesis, the Bible says that the brothers that sold him into slavery and did him wrong had to end up coming right back to him because there was a famine in the land and they didn't have nowhere else to go but back to the one that they treated bad in the first place. You better be careful who you treat bad and who you talk about. You hear what I'm saying? So you got to have compassion. Let the church shout, we got to have compassion. Nehemiah lived as a king's cupbearer, and his life was a life of peace and prosperity. His job was to taste all of the king's food before it got to the king to prevent the king from being poisoned. He would have been one of the most trusted men in the kingdom, and the king would have looked to Nehemiah for advice from time to time. Nehemiah's life was full of serenity and ease because he had one simple job, and that was to make sure that didn't nobody poison the king. When Nehemiah heard the awful news, his heart broke. And the Bible says that he cried. But then after he got done crying, the Bible said he fasted and prayed before the Lord. Instead of being happy in the position that he was in, his life was shattered and he brought himself under submission. He could have said, well, that ain't my problem. I'm chilling right here. I got it made. Y'all deal with that. He could have said that. But that was a burden and a vision in his heart to make sure that he go back to the place and rebuild the city. Y'all, we got to have compassion. Got to have compassion in our hearts to understand that the vision won't work unless we have a burden to allow the vision to come to pass. Not only must we have compassion, brothers and sisters, the text is tailored to teach us, and I'm almost done here, we must have consecration. What is consecration, Pastor? That is a setting aside of your own self and praying and fasting and getting rid of all of that junk in your life that's not supposed to be there in the first place and making yourself pure and holy for God to use you to accomplish the vision in the first place. He prayed. He didn't wait till the pastor called a prayer meeting. He started his own fast. He didn't wait for the pastor to say, okay, it's New Year's and we're going to start our 21-day fast. No, he fasted on his own. Church, I need to tell you this morning that in order for us to see the vision come to pass, there has to be some people who are consecrated and are willing to fast before the Lord. He consecrated himself. He didn't just fast for himself. He didn't pray for himself. He prayed for the situation to be turned around. He was very sorrowful. He was mourning because of the situation, and he knew the potential of the people, and he was concerned because of the fact that he knew that there was a better way of living for them. He was just not comfortable with three hots and a cot. He was not comfortable with the status quo. But he consecrated himself because he knew that prayer changes things. Church, we need some praying believers around this place. We need some folks who's lifting up some savor before the Lord. We need some folk during a week praying for your person, your member, and your fellow person who are around you. And we need some people who was unselfish and willing to pray for your pastor. Even when you don't understand what the pastor's doing. Do you got to trust God, because again, there's only one visionary, and God speaks to that person, and then that visionary shares the vision with the vision runners. The vision runners don't share their vision with the pastor and tell the pastor what to do. Boy, y'all getting quiet. But the visionary shared, because that's God's order now. Amen. The visionary shares the vision, and they get up under the visionary and help bear the load. That's Bible, y'all. We have to be consecrated. Also, so that the devil don't slip in our mind and tell us we need to do otherwise. Because if God is not the author of confusion, Satan has to be. And Satan does not like vision and or unity in the first place. I shared this with our Bible study class this past Monday. He wants us to keep fighting with one another. Because if he can keep confusion around, he knows that we won't accomplish what God has called us to accomplish. So he looks for the weakest link in the bunch. Let me see if I can get in Sister So-and-so today. Because she ain't been reading her Bible no way. Her spirit man ain't strengthened. I think I can get her to do what I need her to do. And boom, there it go. Cancerous situation that caused division in the church. We are part of the same team. And I ain't never, ever, ever, and y'all correct me if I'm wrong, some of y'all are older than me, but I've never seen members of the same team fight for the opposing members. I never seen the Grizzlies when they playing the Lakers. I never seen Ja Morant stop shooting for the Grizzlies and go to the Lakers side and start making buckets for them. I've never seen it. Why? Because if you are part of a team, you hook up with your teammates to win the game. Sometimes you're not going to win, but if you continue to keep going to practice, what's practice, Pastor, in the spiritual realm? I'm glad you asked. Sunday morning worship, Sunday school, Bible study. If you keep going to practice and you keep on dribbling and doing the fundamental things that need to be done, you'll start seeing the team win more games. Teach, Pastor. I'm tired of losing, y'all. Did you hear what I said? And you ought to be tired of losing too. Amen. Because we are winners in the first place. But if we're going to be a part of the team, we cannot let the light be shined on us. Because again, there is no I in team. If you're going to be a part of the team, be a part of the team. You just can't show up to practice when you feel like it, then don't show up, and then we looking for you and we can't find you, and then all of a sudden something happened, you blow back in. No! That's not how we win. We win by making sure we show up with a winner's mindset and we have vision with determination. Got to have compassion. Got to have consecration. But listen, a determined vision involves community. I'm done. It involves community. That means we have to come together. Community suggests a sense of togetherness. It doesn't matter that you got an associate's degree and somebody else got a master's. It don't matter because you got a doctorate and somebody ain't got no degree at all. It don't matter if maybe perhaps you never even graduated from high school. None of that matters. Because God has used some people that the halls of high learning couldn't produce in the first place. Come here. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? You can go out and obtain all you want to obtain. You can go out and fill your wall with degrees. But if you don't have vision, and if you're not pushing that vision along, you're not doing what God has called you to do. Nehemiah said, listen, we got to rebuild this thing. We got to make sure we get together and get with one another and make sure that we don't just haphazardly come to church, but we have a mission mind, especially because we're St. Mark Missionary Baptist Church. That's what missionary Baptist means. We're doing missions. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Amen. 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 And so many people are caught up on this thing called names that they forget their purpose in the Lord. If you're caught up in a name and you ain't working the work of the name, you ain't doing nobody no good. We have to be about our Father's business. Regardless of our position in life, whether at church, at work, at school, at home, we must understand in order for anything to work, we gotta support it. We gotta make sure that we are determined to see it come to pass, and we got to get out of our heads. Get rid of those attitudes. Because your attitude determines your altitude. That's what my coach used to tell us. I remember. Sometimes he used to say, get your head out the clouds and get in the game. Because if you keep your head in the game, you're focused. You're focused on running the plays that the coach has given. Even if you don't understand all the plays, and even if you think that you have better plays than the coach, real team mentality says, I'm gonna run them anyway for the common goal of winning the game. And hey, if it don't work, that's what timeouts are for. Let's see if we can erase it, Bro Jewel, and write some more plays. So we got to have vision with determination. We got to make sure that it's a part of togetherness. I thank God for the opportunity, and the doors of our Father's house are open. I thank God for the opportunity to serve God in the capacity of kingdom building. I thank God for the opportunity to serve with such amazing people that God has placed in this church. We have some of the best of the best. Oh my God. You know how many churches would love to have some Brenda Faines, some Charlotte Fishers, some Janice Sneeds? You know how many churches are praying for people? Some Jerry Thomases, some Jewel Gates, and some Andrew Fishers, some Willie Jean Gill, praying for those type of people. And we got them right here. Some Eric Trent McVeighs, and some Mother Gates, and some Mother Carolyn's, and some Mother T's, and some Mother Bessie Sneed. They're praying for people like that. And we got them right here. And sometimes we take what we have for granted because we get comfortable because we have had it for so long. Familiarity causes us to fail God sometimes because we don't appreciate what we have. You know how many churches would love to have a Pastor E. Allen Redwell Jr.? I'm talking about with love. With love. Bible says, prophet without honor, prophet is without honor in his own hometown. Don't let nobody out honor your pastor. God says, and I will give you pastors after my own heart. I know I was supposed to be here. I ain't know none about a Wilkinsville Road. I ain't know nothing about it. I had never been down this street, never been to this area. I knew it was God. I got elected to three churches at the same time. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? I know it was God. And since it's God, yes, there will be struggle sometimes. Because nothing worth having is not worth fighting for. If it's easy, you don't want it. You better watch it. You don't want nothing easy now. Because what's easy is not worth anything. Y'all ain't praying with Pastor this morning. I'm just trying to set somebody up for some blessings. But every now and again, you got to work hard to accomplish what God has called you to accomplish. And yes, you get frustrated. Yes, you will have failures. Because no life at all that's on earth is exempt from trouble, trials, tribulation, and failure. Some people are just good at covering theirs up. Everybody then had some failures. There are some people that thought about walking away, but listen, they didn't walk away. but they thought about it. Some people that almost gave up, they thought about it. And that's why you got to make sure that you control the battleground of your mind. Because if Satan can get your head, he got your whole body. And so it is in the church. If Satan can knock the head down, the rest of the body will die. That's why we got to pray. We got to pray. We have to make sure we're being led with compassion. Got to make sure we're consecrating ourselves and make sure we keep a sense of community, togetherness.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.